Hi there, Jeremy Hutchings here. Before we get started, I want to ask you a question. Are you getting the results you want from the effort you put into your farm business? Would you like to thrive rather than just survive? If you're looking to improve your skills as a farm business owner and thrive, then you're not going to want to miss the next Top Producers Workshop. The thing that sets the best business owners and the top 20% of farmers apart from the pack is that they all spend time working strategically on their business. If you know you need to spend more time on your business rather than in it, but you don't know where to start, then the Top Producers Workshop will be perfect for you. Join me and the Farm Owners Academy team, as well as a host of other like-minded farm business owners, to spend two incredible days working on your business. This could be the most valuable investment you make this year. The first step in creating your freedom farm starts now, but hurry. These events normally sell out months in advance. Head over to farmownersacademy.com/events. That's farmownersacademy.com/events for more details.
Welcome to the Profitable Farmer Podcast, where it's all about increasing the profitability of your farm by working smarter, not harder. And now your host, business expert, Andrew Roberts.
Hi there, everyone. Welcome to this podcast. We've got Greg Johnson online from Kangaroo Island. How are you going, Greg?
I'm good, Andrew. How are you going?
Really well, thank you. And I'm excited to bring the farmers this podcast. I think it's a great topic and one that certainly you and I both, Greg, have learned an enormous amount about, Greg, and that topic being how often saving money by doing certain technical jobs can actually cost you money in the short to long term. And I mean, you must see this enormously, even from your career being in business and from working with farmers.
Yes, it's unfortunately a common situation. A lot of farmers, I guess, don't understand that often if their head's down and their bum's up working on things in the farm that they could have other people doing, they're often missing a massive amount of opportunities to actually use that time much more productively within their business.
Absolutely. So we're going to get into this and we'll use a couple of great stories from experience as we go along. And the first point that I really want to make, there's three key points, and the first one that I really want to make is you can't remove yourself from busy land while being busy. You can't remove yourself from busy land while being busy. And Greg, we see this all the time as well, right? So you create a problem in an environment and it's very difficult for you to remove yourself or to solve that problem in the environment where you created it.
Yep, it's impossible. In fact, Albert Einstein said that you know, that the problem can't be solved in the environment in which it was created. So it's really important that, you know, that periodically you step away from the business and have a view of the business from a different perspective, and you'll start to see the sort of things that really need some remedies applied to them.
Yeah, and there's just such a great metaphor that I teach, and that's there's a guy that's walking along a river, and there's a kid drowning in the river, so he jumps into the river and he saves the kid, and he's feeling pretty proud of himself. He looks over his shoulder and there's another kid drowning in the river. And so he dives back into the river and pulls out this second kid, and then all of a sudden there's a third kid. And he jumps back in, and this is going on and on. There's a fourth kid, a fifth kid, a sixth kid. And this guy's starting to panic a little bit, and he's busy jumping in the river, pulling them out, jumping in the river, pulling them out. They're all surviving, but he's starting to feel a little bit burnt out. And a girl walks past, and she says, you know, what are you doing? And he said, help me, I need help. Help me save these kids. And she looks at him and she actually refuses to do it. And she said, no, I'm actually going to go and sit under a tree for a while and get my head around what's going on. And this guy's furious because he thinks, you know, this is crazy. I need support here. And she goes and she sits under a tree and she's just thinking for a while. And she's like, you know what? And she's watching the river and she's watching him. And then she decides to walk upstream to see what the problem is, and she stops the guy 400 metres upstream that's throwing the kids in the river. And it's a simple metaphor, but it's a great metaphor. And Greg, there's a great example from my history. I mean, I've been in business for a number of years, 18 years, and I remember when I was started out as a business coach, I used to drive all over Sydney, and I had, let's say, 13 clients, might have been 14 clients, and I'd drive, and you can imagine getting across Sydney, it would often take me 2 hours to get from one appointment to the next. And I just remember hitting a bit of a ceiling in my business, and I couldn't quite work out, you know, if I keep putting on clients, I'm just going to burn out. And I remember I went into a room where I received some coaching, and we did this big audit on our time. And I actually calculated, it was the first time ever I actually calculated how long I was spending driving across Sydney every week. And it shocked me, actually, because it was 13 hours a week. And what really highlighted for me, Greg, just from going into an environment to solve the problem was two things. Number one, it brought awareness to it. And number two, when I actually calculated that into weeks and then months per year, believe it or not, that was 3 months of my year was stuck in a car. And all of a sudden I went, wow, that's ridiculous. And so the solution that popped out of that equation for me was, I made a decision after realizing this that I can't continue to do this anymore. I can't continue to keep driving. I can't grow if I keep driving across Sydney. And it was an awareness thing. And all of a sudden, I made the decision that either clients will come to me or we will do telephone coaching. That was a big transformation for me, a big eye-opening to leverage. And as you could imagine, Greg, that it just enabled me to double the amount of clients that I could actually see, which doubled my profitability or my income, and believe it or not, substantially reduced the stress for me. But I just wanted to talk about this, Greg, because we've got these four quadrants, and this is direct from Stephen Covey. The seven habits of highly successful people, and we've got these quadrants and this urgent and important. We've got this urgent but not important. We've got this not urgent and not important, and then we've got this area that's important but not urgent. And Greg, you'd agree with me that we actually have to go into the important but not urgent. It's called the zone. There's no urgency in it, but you have to actually go into a place to actually review what you're doing in the urgent and important in order to remove yourself from it, correct?
Yep. I mean, basically, pretty well all of the growth in business occurs in that zone of the important but not urgent. And unfortunately, what happens is that for many of us, and I've been guilty of this. I mean, I've been in business for 36 years. We've started up several businesses on our own, and you know, when we first started our business, our veterinary business here, 36 years ago, it was just myself and Deb, my partner, and we did everything. You know, we were the head cooks and bottle washers. We did the whole shooting match, and so, but you know, if you want to grow the business, if you want to achieve a bigger thing in life than just head down and bum up working in your business day in, day out, then you have to spend time in that zone of what's important and not urgent, because that's where all the major decision making occurs.
Yeah, and I mean, let's just take a sheep farmer that's spending time crutching, Greg, or doing other low value tasks. We're going to talk a bit more about this shortly, because I'm going to really open people up to knowing your hourly rate. But whilst you're busy crutching, you're not going to actually see that particular task could be costing you money, correct? That's not the place where you're going to get the epiphany of, I shouldn't be doing this. It has to be done outside of the actual busyness, correct?
Yep, that's right. That's right.
Yes. Yeah, so that's the first major point that I really wanted to draw your attention to, that you have to remove yourself from busy land to initially free yourself out. And look, just to give you a really powerful, simple tool right now, which you can download here, is one of the greatest things you can do is actually measure how you're spending your time. And what I like to do I've done this on myself, and I do this with clients, is you actually measure everything you do for a two-week period, and you write down literally all the tasks you do, and at the back end of that two-week period, you just come back and you review, because you actually get to see where you're spending your time, where your time's actually going, and that will bring the key word that I like to use, that will bring awareness to whether you need whether these tasks are high value, medium value, or low value. Because you get trapped, Greg, correct? And all of a sudden, you could actually get trapped in a task maybe for 5 or 10 years that you probably could have let go of significantly sooner than you even realize.
Yep, that's right. And I think in a farming business, because of the seasonality of the farm business, you know, it's worth looking at doing that snapshot of, or performing that snapshot of where you're spending your time, you know, probably 3 or 4 times throughout the year, because obviously you're going to have different priorities at different times of the year. And but really getting it's such a fundamental thing. I mean, one of our keys to farm benchmarking is to understand the amount of labor that's required in the business, and where is that labor employed? What's it doing? You know, what enterprise is it working on? And it's a question that most participants in farm benchmarking, when they first start, have a huge amount of problems answering, because they don't really have a good handle on you know, where do they spend their time? You know, how is that time spent? You know, are they spending it on things that are absolutely essential and best done by themselves, or are they spending it on things that are essential but could be done by others, or perhaps even spending time on things that aren't that essential? And you know, I think if you have that understanding, it's just a great, for any business, not only farming, it's a fantastic way of really focusing in on all the things that are being done within the business, and thinking about, you know, can we do them better? You know, do I have to do them? Can someone else do them? Can we do them in a better way?
Yeah. And I'll talk a little bit more as the last part about, you know, what is some very high value tasks. And absolutely one of those tasks is analysis. And questioning everything. And you, all top producers, Greg, and all top business owners are constantly questioning, correct, and looking for ways to improve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a constant part of business. You know, I mean, you're either improving what you do, you're either improving the output from the business, or you're improving in a way that actually decreases the cost. And if you're not, it's one or the other, because in the end, you know, the business has to be moving forward. Nothing stands still in life and in business, and your costs are going up by 3%, you know, 3.5% a year, every year. And so if your business is not progressing at the same rate, or hopefully at a faster rate, then you're actually going backwards. There's no such thing as standing still. So, you know, you should be constantly looking to improve what you do within the business, how you do it, and improve the way in which things are done.
Yes. Yes. So the second point that I want to segue into here is know your hourly rate. And for me, this is a game changer. This alone can have a significant impact on how you justify what you do. And if you were to break down every single thing that you do into, if you like, a scale or an hourly rate, I mean, we've got our $10 to $30 an hour work. Then we've got our $30 to $100 an hour work. There's a category of $100 to $1,000 an hour work. And believe it or not, there's actually another category where there's $1,000 plus per hour work. And this is very important, because I just want to go through this, Greg, and come back and really explore this, because I think this is such a key part. Because, I mean, a lot of things have to get done on a farm, correct, that are sitting in that $10 to $30 an hour work.
Yes, a lot of the operations part of the farm business are in that $10 to $30 hour.
Yeah, and this is a bit of a harsh reality, what I'm about to say, but it's impossible to get wealthy or rich. It's impossible to have a super highly profitable farm if you're the person that's always doing those, unless you're hiring someone else that's going to work on the $1,000 an hour work. But the challenge with that is that person's going to be running their own business, because they've clued onto it. And this is a big game changer, correct, Greg? It's like, I remember Brad Sugars used to always, he was a guy, a mentor of mine when I first started out in business, and he said, look, guys, I hate to be honest, but you're never going to get rich mowing your own lawns or doing your own cleaning of your house. He said, I know it's got to get done, but if you get caught up and you're procrastinating doing those things, then it's going to stop you working on the high-value things. And so it's so important to know this hourly rate. And let me explain this, because if you spend 50% of your week, and let's just say that's 25 hours, and you're doing $25 an hour work, then that's a $625 saving that you will, by you doing that, you will save $625 an hour. But here's the thing, there's an opportunity cost, because you might be saving $625 an hour a week in outgoings. But Greg, what's the opportunity cost that the farmer's missing here, that they could, if they were prepared to let go of that 25 hours at $25, for example, what have they got back, and what are they in a position to do with that?
Yeah, so look, it's a fantastic question to always be asking yourself. And I think one of the things that I commonly see is that some of the really high-value activities within a farming business are often given over to people who don't have the skill to do them properly. And so, you know, you're spending your time doing the $10 to $30 an hour work and giving over the really high-value work to people who don't have the skill to do that. And I'll give you an example. I'll give you two examples, actually. One of the clients that we work with has got quite a large cropping business, and we said to him one day, okay, look, you know, if you how much time would you need to free up in your business to concentrate on your grain marketing to do a really good job of it? And he thought for a while, and he said, look, if I could free up 2 weeks of the year, then I think I could do a really good job with my grain marketing. And I said, well, okay, if you could free up 2 weeks to do that marketing, how much extra money do you think you could make the business? And he said, well, I would estimate I could probably increase our income by $250,000. So in 2 weeks, $250,000, you know, but given out, but not being done because he was too busy being caught up in just the doing of the low value tasks. And similarly, you know, and this might resonate with a few of you, people who employ stock agents to do their ram buying for them, for example, in a sheep flock. The rams you buy, the genetic choices you make, have a profound impact on the profitability of your enterprise going forward. Your genetic selection decisions have the ability to drive the productivity of your flock forward by 3 to 4% per year, particularly in a merino flock. And that sort of rate of gain, you know, can keep pace with the increases in cost that's happening in your business. And yet, very often, those decisions are given over to people who don't have the skill to be able to actually do that job for you correctly. So, you know, it really, I see this happening all the time. It's a really fundamental issue.
Oh, it's huge. And the reason is, again, Greg, isn't it? Because the farmer's so conditioned to two things, that they think they have to do the work and it's saving them money by doing the work, or they just, it's habitual. And they don't have the space to actually slow down and see far out by letting go of that. Exactly what you said, it might cost me, even if it's $10,000, to free up that 2 weeks, but I free up 2 weeks and I regain $200,000 back on that initial example that you said. And obviously I would imagine if someone studies purchasing stock and getting the right genetics correct, the right rams, and actually knows what they're doing there. I mean, Greg, let's just say they spend 50 hours on that a year, and that's probably top end, but let's just say, I mean, how valuable could that be to their enterprise over the next decade?
Yeah, well, it's massive. It obviously depends on the scale of the business, but the long-term benefits from those sorts of decisions are really substantial, particularly in a self-replacing flock, so or a beef herd. You know, you're determining the genetic direction of your herd or flock, and the decisions you make today, you carry forward the results of those decisions for years and years to come. So it is such a fundamental and such a high value a part of the business, and often, as I say, not given the sort of time, effort, and energy that it should be given by a lot of farmers, because they are too busy in the jobs that they're doing today. And look, I not wanting to be critical, I mean, I was there myself. You know, when we started, we had to do everything, and so we were doing the low value tasks and the high value tasks. But what I can tell you is that, you know, you cannot grow the business successfully while you've got your head buried in those tasks. You do have to step out and work out how you can actually give over some of those tasks to other people who are quite happy to do them at the 10 to $30 per hour type bracket, and spend your time on those much more valuable tasks.
Bingo. And I mean, this is quite interesting maths, because maths is the thing I love about numbers, Greg. They just don't lie. But let's just hypothetically say you have a goal to produce $250,000 in profit on your farm after paying yourself the recommended, I've just made this up approximately, a recommended wage of $100,000, okay? So If we were to do the maths on this, that's a $350,000 income. And of course, there's seasons, there's fluctuations, but this is a powerful exercise. So let's just say you've got a goal to generate $350,000 in profit. Now, if we actually were to divide that back by 48 weeks of a year to enable you to have 4 weeks off, I truly believe that people that work 54 weeks a year, by they think they're more productive, in my opinion, are foolish. The ones that actually have some time out will actually be more effective with that time. So I've given you 4 weeks holiday. So 48 weeks work to generate $350,000, $250,000 profit plus $100,000 salary to you, Greg, dividing it back, it's $7,291 per week. Okay. Now, if we divide that back by 40 hours a week, which is a recommended amount of work. Now, I know some farmers work 60 hours, some probably 100. But one of the key areas at Farm Owners Academy is we don't believe in grinding yourself into the ground. Like we want to see you have great work-life balance. So, you know, I think 40 hours is a healthy amount of hours. You could take 50 if you wanted. But if you were to take that $7,291 a week that you have to make $350,000 profit, divide it back by 40 hours, that's actually $182 an hour. And this is really interesting because all of a sudden, I mean, I've been coaching businesses for as I mentioned, 18 years. One of the first thing I'll do is I'll get them crystal clear on what does your hourly rate need to be to make the profit goal that you want. And often it's around that $100 to $400 an hour mark. And my next question is, look, if you're not playing at that level or above, how can you expect to make that profit? If everything you're doing is not at that hourly rate, then you can't. It's very hard to justify making that profit. And this is interesting, and Greg, we both know this because not every hour is productive in a week, so you're not going to get a full 40 hours of productivity. So I actually think you've got to divide that 40 hours down again by two. I actually believe you get 20 really productive hours a week. And so if you really look at that, if there's 20 productive hours for you to pull $350,000 out a year, your hourly rate needs to sit at $364 an hour. And I think this is just in your face when you see this, because all of a sudden, if you knew, okay, for me to make $350,000 a year, I have to be operating at $364 an hour jobs. And because this segues me into the third and final piece of this, Greg, but I mean, what are some of the skills? What are some of the, and we've already covered a couple of them, but what are some of the things that you can do when it comes to running a business that sit at, if you like, $324 an hour work or higher from your, just off the cuff, what would be two or three things you could do that would actually be paid at that high hourly rate?
Well, before I go on to that, I'll just add to the calculations that you just highlighted in terms of the hourly rate. So, you know, we're talking about $250,000 profit plus $100,000 in owner wage being paid to yourself, and the hourly rate that's required to generate that. But don't forget that's after costs. So the hourly rate you actually have to generate has to allow for costs as well. And so in a good farming business, the costs make up about 70% of the overall income that's generated. So that $182 an hour actually equates to about $600 an hour, just a bit over $600 an hour for a 40-hour week. And then, you know, you need to then add in the calculation around the effectiveness of the work time, how many hours you actually effectively work. So really, you have to be operating in that, you know, in the $600 to $800 region to really start to drive the business to the point where you can make a substantial profit. But just in terms of the sorts of things that really are the very high value tasks within farming businesses. I mean, one of the biggest ones is planning. Planning and budgeting is just such a huge opportunity within the farming, in any business space, to be able to get clarity around, you know, where you want the business to go and make sure that it's going to reach those goals. And that happens only through planning and through implementation of those plans and you know, having the budgets and forecasts to be able to work to make sure that, you know, you're on track to reach those goals. So that's a massive one, Andrew. You must see that as well in all businesses.
Oh, I mean, it's huge, and it is absolutely $1,000 an hour plus work, because planning gets you to look at where you're spending your time. and what is high priority and what's not priority. I mean, let's just segue into another one, Greg. How important is negotiating?
Yes, negotiating is just a massive one. I mean, you know, it's really interesting when we talk to farming businesses and we talk to them about their organizational structure and we talk about sales and marketing. And most farmers, when you talk to them about sales and marketing, they'd probably think, well, you know, actually we don't have a very big sales and marketing aspect to our business. But it's absolutely false. I mean, you are selling and marketing yourself and your business every day of the year. Whenever you are interacting with anybody that actually supports your business in any way, you are selling. You are selling yourself, you are selling your business, you are selling what you actually do. You know, whether it's your suppliers or whether it's the products that you've actually got to market and all the rest of it, it's all selling. And so, you know, you are selling constantly, and the sales part, the sales arm or the sales division of a farming business is actually a very significant part of farming. I mean, if you can produce all of the grain, all of the wool, all of the meat, the beef that you like, but if you can't sell it and you don't sell it effectively, then, you know, then you are basically not capitalizing on the opportunity that you're providing yourself with by producing those commodities. So the selling is really important, and a really important part of selling, and a really important part of basically running the farm business in an effective way is negotiation. It's being able to negotiate with suppliers, negotiating with purchasers, negotiating with team members, negotiating with the bankers, negotiating with all of the people that actually support your business in one way or another. So it's a massive, massive skill and a very, very high value part of the business.
Yeah, I'll give you one thing you could do immediately after this podcast, Greg. I mean, typically, if you've done a lot of benchmarking and probably putting you on the spot a bit with this, but what would be a average farm that you see electricity cost, say, on a quarterly bill?
So farm electricity, well, obviously it varies dramatically depending on the type of business. But you know, let's say that, you know, for the average farmer, they're probably looking at $1,500 to $2,000, something like
okay,
that.
So let's just hypothetically say 2,000 a quarter or a year?
No, a year. That's an annual year.
Okay, so let's just say that you have a $2,000 electricity cost per year. And the reason I'm sharing this is because I just went through this. Greg, how long would it take you to pick up the phone and ring the provider of that electricity supplier and ask for a better deal?
Look, you should be able to get it done within half an hour, I would have thought.
Yep. So let's just say 30 minutes. And this, by the way, this I just had this happen with me. I asked for a discount. I got 20% knocked off. So if it's 20%, and here, so obviously 20% of $2,000, Greg, $400.
$400, yep.
I'm not guaranteeing you that your provider will do this, but $400 now over a 5-year time frame, right? What does that work out to be? That's another
it's another $2,000.
Yeah. So you actually pretty much buy a full year free of electricity worth. So if you actually look at the return on that 20 minutes, if you can do the maths on that, the return on that 20 minutes is way higher than being out spending 20, you know, making even two days on a tractor, Greg. I mean, how many days would you have to work at $25 an hour to save $2,000 or make $2,000?
Yeah, so it's a lot of time. So yeah, I mean, the point is that I think the point we're trying to make here is that, you know, just small, spending a little bit of time in lots of different areas in your business, instead of being out in the paddock necessarily doing some low value tasks, can often create far more opportunity than the money that you're making or saving by actually being out doing the job yourself. Really, then that's really what we're talking about here.
So. Absolutely, absolutely. And so just to finish up on that, some other ideas, marketing,
yep,
training your team.
Yeah, team training is a massive one. I mean, people often say to me, you know, well, it's a bit of a bugger. I employ somebody and we put them through training and then they leave. And, you know, and the thing I say to them is always, well, it's better that you actually train somebody and they leave than you don't train somebody and they stay. It's really important that you do train your team. I mean, having a team work for you is all about leverage and what they can provide. It's all about upskilling them so that they can do the work that you don't have to do and do it in a way that is often more effective because they've got more time to do the work that they are tasked to do. They're not having to do all of the things that you do as a business owner. So they can spend more time, effort, and energy on those jobs and often do a better job of them. But they must be trained properly. And the more time you spend on training and upskilling your team, the more you'll be able to let go and give to them, and the more time that will free up for yourself. It's a huge amount of leverage. I mentioned it before, but genetic decisions, ram and bull buying, and self-replacing cattle and sheep flocks, herds and flocks. It's just it's a very, very high value exercise, and if it's done properly, then you know you can minimise your expenditure and maximise the return. And it absolutely is $1,000 an hour type work because of the returns, potential returns it brings to the business. It's absolutely massive when you start to understand the value that is in that space.
Yeah, and what about systems, Greg?
Systems are massive. I mean, it's the same as we talked just before about training, but systems go hand in hand, really. You know, if you can systemize your business and basically have document the systems, the key systems within your business that are repeated on a regular basis, if they can be documented, then that provides the perfect opportunity to be able to hand them off to somebody else and have them run those systems run exactly the same way as they would if you were doing them yourself. And that alone, you know, frees up a lot of time, effort, and energy. And, you know, often you can employ people you know, in Australia, but also not necessarily in Australia, overseas, to do some of these tasks. Like bookkeeping is a classic one. You know, if you can systemize your bookkeeping system, the way you handle your invoices and pay your creditors, then that can be handed off to somebody, and often at quite a low dollar per hour rate.
I mean, optimizing, Greg, there's so much to look at if you can slow down and see how you can create more efficiencies on the farm, correct, with understanding optimization?
Yep. Yes, there's no doubt about that. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So the list goes on, and you know, one of the reasons why we can help farmers really get ahead so much quicker than others is because we're pulling them out of their environment, and we're actually showing or opening them up to where they can work on this $1,000 an hour work. And it's only when you start putting these things in place that you actually start running a great business, and you move from being a farmer to running a great business. So I think it's a great topic, and just to summarize this, I just wanted to go over, like, you have to get yourself into a new environment. You can't be in the busyness to remove yourself from the busyness, number one. Two, you know your hourly rate, set the goal and ask yourself the question, how much profit do you want to make? What does my profitability need to do? And number three, learn and understand and master the skills that are $1,000 an hour plus work, and then focus on doing those first. Get those done, and you know, watch your profitability soar. And not only that, Greg, I mean, watch how you'll also be able to work significantly less as well, because you'll be freeing yourself out of being busy.
Absolutely, that's really the key. The key to it in the end is always be looking to see how you can actually relieve yourself from a lot of those tasks on the farm in a way that actually adds value to the business going forward. And that may sound strange, you know, how can I actually stop doing some of these things and pay someone else to do them and make more money? But you know, it is actually a fundamental concept, and when you wrap your head around it and understand that, you know, that by you spending your time, more of your time in those not urgent but important areas of the business, and doing a good job of those, how it will dramatically grow the business, and add far more value than you're adding to it by actually being out in the paddock doing those low value tasks.
Great. So I hope you got some ideas from this. If you are listening to this and you'd like further information on our Top Producers Program, what we call our Platinum Mastermind, which actually teaches the Top Producers Program, transforming, optimize, and then propel your farm, send us an email, support@farmownersacademy.com. But thanks for being here, Greg, and we'll chat again soon.
Fantastic. See you later, guys.